Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast. It is The Toast X Juicy Scoop. Today, I am joined in studio by one of my favorite people on the planet, someone who actually is funny, someone who actually makes me belly laugh. It's Heather McDonald. Hello, Heather McDonald.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
You have not been on The Toast in forever. I feel like you were on a million years ago, and then we did virtual during COVID, which was dark.
Well, the first time I was on, I did not realize that you guys were like a big deal. It was
We weren't.
Yes, you were. It was back when you had your Yahoo show.
The Breath, yeah.
And I like got lost, which is why I was here so early.
You were very timely.
And because there was another time I was doing it and I screwed up on Zoom. So I've screwed up with you twice. So I got here literally 20 minutes early.
And you look gorgeous.
I left my house so early from Woodland Hills.
Thank you.
Because I was like, I cannot. And then I decided to get in a fall delight outfit so we could take a nice photo after.
You look like a delight.
Thank you.
I'm so happy you're here. You are one of my favorite podcasters, one of my favorite comedians, and you are just so funny. And I cannot wait to get your take on so many of like the moronic things going on in the world.
Absolutely.
But before we start, I just wanted to catch up with you. And before the show, we were having this conversation about golf, because your husband's a golfer, right?
Yes.
And for how long have you been married?
23 years.
Okay, so I've been told that like when I'm at that stage, I will appreciate the golf. Like I will want my husband out of the house. Right now I'm like annoyed because I have no one to hang out with and it feels rude. But are you at the point now where you love it?
Well, you know, I was saying, so of course I follow you on the TikTok and everybody should. And I feel
I agree.
You and I are a lot that we like are kind of, we watch way too much TikTok
100%.
And like can't stop. Mm-hmm. And so you were saying, oh, you know, the golf, why does it go from 7 to 9? And I just was like, I don't mean to crush you, but like that was in my special from 2014.
By the way, 100%. It's a timeless issue.
It's a timeless issue. And my joke was something like, it can either go from 3 to 13 hours.
Yes.
Because they can play fast sometimes
100%.
If they want.
Yeah.
But there's no way for you to really know. And
then there's lunch.
Then there's lunch, and then there's drinks. Mm-hmm. And then if they're into it, they oftentimes can get away with doing another 9
yep.
without paying for it.
Oh, is that why?
Yes, or whatever. They can go longer.
Right.
And so when my kids were little, yes, it annoyed me that my husband was gone. Now my boys play with him.
Oh, that's actually really nice.
Yes, and I like to go,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll go with my sons, and I will have like a cocktail.
Of course.
And I will like film them, and it's just like, it's like my sons are like rock stars to me.
Yeah.
So any second I can have as they get older. And then my son will play 2 balls. He'll play Drake 1 ball and Drake 2, and then I'm the second ball.
Got it.
So then I just go to the putting.
Well, that was my next question.
Because
some of the girls who are like, you know, golf wives are like, listen, I know it's horrible, but I recently started playing because other than that, I wouldn't see him all weekend. And it's actually kind of fun. So have you ever like gotten into it as a sport?
I'm just starting to do it with girls. And let me tell you, it is really fun.
Really?
So you do best ball, which means you're not really competing then.
Okay.
So you're kind of encouraging all the other girls because whatever the furthest
right.
ball is, then you go.
Oh.
And so it goes real quick. You only do 9 holes. You drink. You have lunch. And you really don't care because you're like, oh my God, I'm glad your ball went further than mine.
Right.
And so it's very friendly.
I could get into the lunch. I think that the lunch sounds amazing. Like,
yes.
I love a country club lunch club sandwich, fries, Diet Coke vibe, iced tea.
Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, very like Palm Springs. I know you're a Palm Springs queen.
Yes, I'm going to La Quinta today.
Every time I'm with you, you're like, I'm going to La Quinta after this.
My sister lives there. I'm like you. I'm close to my sister.
Yes.
And she's been there for 25 years. And I never realized every time I visited her until now that she has led a superior lifestyle to mine.
Wow.
Living in L.A. But I never thought I could live there because I was, you know, trying
working.
To be a successful
a star.
Star. And now, of course, it doesn't matter where you live.
And now you are a star.
Yes.
So
but I still have my house here, so it's all good.
Yeah. That sounds fabulous. I love, like, following you and your life. I feel like you have such a, really, like, a goals type of life, you know?
I need to hear from people like you and Heidi because I got sucked into reading The Hate.
Oh, God.
And the haters hate my happy life.
Oh,
they hate my happy life.
And I find that the happier I am, especially like these days, I'm so happy in like my fitness and health journey.
Yes.
People
yeah.
hate me so much fucking more. Oh. Like, so if anything, it should make you feel good that it's always, it's like, it's opposite. The happier you are, the more hate you get. They run
yes.
parallel. So it's
and,
good.
And you, like me, love to sing.
Love to sing.
And
would you
they,
like to?
They definitely don't like us singing. They don't
no.
like us dancing. I like to dance. I like, and I do dance like an old lady sometimes. Sometimes in too short of a skirt, and I like it.
I like it too. It gives Ramona energy.
I love it.
And there's a lot that could be learned from Ramona.
Oh, God, enjoy your life.
I didn't know that you loved to sing. Can you maybe do a little something for us?
Would you like my karaoke song or my childhood song?
Childhood.
Special? Okay. The sun'll come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun.
Heather!
When I'm stuck with a day that's gray.
Wait, I'm shook. Your voice is so good.
Meanwhile, the toasters are like, we did not think we were going to get the singing again.
Oh my God, wait. I'm shocked. Your voice is like amazing.
I think it's okay. I also think I oftentimes are off key, but like
who cares?
I sometimes my sister just goes, "You're just loud,"
and
I
you just love to
it.
Sing.
I can belt it.
Love.
I do. Yes, I do like to sing. When you but like again, my kids don't enjoy it.
Of course,
nobody enjoys it.
Of course,
but me and you. And but I was thinking about driving over here about how you like, and I was thinking about how you. I was listening to the show yesterday with your sisters,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, you know, and if you know. If Taylor wants to go to Kelsey's, you know, games to support him. And I was like, oh, and, you know, he can always go to her concerts. But as a female stand-up or as a stand-up at all, it's like your significant other can't go to every show like you can a rock show.
Right.
Like, you could go to every single whatever, Red Hot Chili Peppers show forever.
Yeah.
Hear the same songs over and over. But, like, for us, I remember one time when Chelsea was breaking up with her boyfriend at the time, and she goes, yeah, but, like, I can't imagine dating someone and then what, they're just going to come to my show and hear the same jokes over and over.
No, it's so true.
And I'm like, that's no reason to stay with somebody.
No.
But you also don't have to have them come every time.
Well, my last tour, because Ben's like full-time job is working on Spritz, our wine, and that was one of the tour sponsors. So Ben, for work, came with me to every single show. And he actually didn't get annoyed or like felt like it was repetitive. He thought he could do better. He's like, you know, next time you go out there, he's giving me notes. I'm like, excuse me? I'm like, you shut your mouth right now. He's like, you know, you really need to work on this 10 minutes. I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Yeah,
so it can have an adverse effect.
Yes, I definitely don't want my husband Peter. I barely want him to come to the shows.
Really?
Well, also, he has white hair now, and so he's pretty distinctive looking.
Yeah.
So there was a few times he came, and the Juicy Scoopers
attacked.
Were like, and I mean, I don't know. I don't want him to get a big head. It's already big physically. And I was like,
yeah.
I don't need you to now feel like you're the star too.
Well, as two female stars
yes.
who are married,
yes.
we definitely have this kind of responsibility almost to protect our significant others.
Right.
And I don't know if it's the same for you. Like whenever Ben is a part of like TikToks or he comes on the podcast, like he'll be on tomorrow, the girls love him so, so much. And it's like, I'm over here doing the most, doing backflips for laughs. And Ben's just sitting there like making one moronic joke. And they're like, oh my God, Ben is the best. We need Ben more. I'm like, I'm literally working so hard.
That is so funny. Yeah. I think that, no, so yes, I don't want any notes.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that early on, I thought I did all this new stuff and he happened to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so excited to hear how great he must have thought it was. And it wasn't. And then
yeah.
after that, I was like, you know what? I kind of don't think I want you there
anymore,
unless you're like actually doing something because we're like filming it.
Right.
Other than that, like, and I kind of feel the same way with my friends. And my friends
yes.
have been so wonderful, my high school and college friends, especially in the early years of when like coming to the shows
yeah.
and blah, 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 blah. And then I went to one dinner and this girl goes, and I go, oh, I've had such a great show. I did all this new material. And she goes, oh, good, because if I have to hear those stories about Peter again, and it literally made me, like, switch to
yeah.
the point where I was like, I never want my friends to come again.
Yeah. It's also just more awkward. I would rather perform for a room of 10,000 strangers.
Me too.
Than 20 people I know.
I get in my head about everything.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like that even when I was starting. Even if it wasn't my material, I would do a show with all these women. Mm-hmm. And this one girl had a really funny herpes bit about the commercial for herpes. Okay. And I had a couple friends that had the herpes, you know? And I specifically wouldn't invite them to those shows if that girl was performing because I couldn't, like,
It would mess you up.
I worry about people's feelings.
Of course.
And so one day, I'm about to go on stage, and I go, oh, fuck. Like, I forgot that this girl is doing her herpes bit, and my two herpes friends are in the audience.
Two herpes friends.
And I look out, and they're laughing harder than anyone.
Oh.
And that's when I realized I can't be such a...
Control freak.
What is it when you're... when you're carrying with codependent. I can't be codependent about my audience anymore or my friends or whatever. But when you have people you really know and you know their history, or like all of a sudden you start to do a joke about like whatever, if I was a widow or blah, blah, blah. And then I realize, oh my God, my friend really is a widow.
Right.
Like I just, it's so.
But those are the types of people who actually need to hear those jokes.
Yes.
For most of the time, like those are the people who
love it the most
and like the herpes thing. So yeah, that's interesting. But the husband element and just like people I know, please seriously stay the fuck away. Don't come support. I don't need you. It's horrifying, especially because, and for you too, I'm sure you talk so much about your marriage and just like personal things. And for strangers to know about my marriage, it's okay.
Yes.
For my in-laws, no. I'm like, please don't come. Please.
My mother-in-law, she loves the jokes about her son.
She does?
She loves it more than anyone. The last show I did, she did come to it because it was in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought like her ladies from her place. And I don't care. She's the best mother-in-law in the world.
I have a great mother-in-law too.
She would pick me over her son, I think, any day.
Oh, you know what? I have an amazing mother-in-law. I got to ask her who she would pick, me or Ben. I do think she would pick Ben, which can be understandable. But I'm a delight.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You are a delight.
We are going to do pop culture, of course, because that is your beat. I want to know, before we dive in, like, what are stories right now, like, ongoing developing stories that you're obsessed with?
I mean, the main ones, you know. I'm on my drive down. I am going to download the audio of Jada's book. Because
you
need to hear, like, I'm hearing all the clips.
Yes.
And I'm seeing all the stories.
Yeah.
And she's sounding like a real asshole. And I'm like, maybe if I listen to it in her voice, I'll either A, not feel like she's, or she'll be more of an asshole, but most likely I'll be able to imitate it. So I just would like to hear the cadence of her voice talking about Pac.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't call him Tupac. She calls him Pac.
Yeah.
I just saw a clip of her on Jay Shetty, and she was like, well, you know, Pac didn't like anybody I dated. But when I dated Will, I didn't hear anything from Pac. Pac was okay with me dating Will.
Pac.
I'm like, what is this? Because I saw this other girl do like a timeline, and everyone's like, I think she's bullshitting about him asking her to marry him during Rikers because he was engaged to somebody else. And like, I don't know. I'm kind of obsessed. And I've been obsessed with them, with her being an arrogant asshole for years.
I do agree that it's hard to know when somebody's getting so much press and they're coming off of as annoying, if they themselves are an annoying person, or if it's like all the clickbait and the media making them annoying. I think that happens a lot. Then you find this person annoying, and then years later you're like, wait, why did I feel like they were annoying? They're a nice person. And it's hard to know if like she's getting just so much press to the point where we all are annoyed with her, or is she being annoying?
And also, like, I think because it's, you know, because the world is in such incredible pain and turmoil, there isn't that much pop culture.
That's
true. It kind of was a perfect storm in a positive way to get this press for herself.
That's very true. People are just like dying.
It just isn't a lot
to talk about mindlessness.
Yeah, and I feel like even like the New York Post and stuff are like, okay, we got to put in something dumb right now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, some of the dumb articles I've seen are like, wow, you're really...
The bar is low for journalism.
Yeah, like what? The story is like 10 years old and you're just bringing it up or, you know.
You know, we do a segment on The Toast called Kelly's Mindless News.
Yes.
Because a few years ago I realized there has never been a piece of journalism published about Kelly Ripa that was anything substantial. It's always just like, I saw one today.
I love that and I'm obsessed with Kelly. And,
so I wanted to know what your thoughts on that saga. I saw one today that was like, they shared, especially now that they're hosting their show together, there's so much more mindless news. And they shared like this crazy story about how they were, you know, eating peppers and it got in their vagina. Like, it's just always so dumb.
It's the fact that they constantly talk about their sex life.
It's a lot.
This is what I think happened. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think Ryan, I think it was a mutual goodbye for Ryan.
Okay.
I actually don't think he quit. I've actually heard some stuff that it was a mutual goodbye.
I could see that. He's very busy.
Busy and
over it.
And maybe it wasn't, he wasn't completely behaving properly.
Got it.
Whatever.
Got it.
So I think at that point, they're like, why are we making our life difficult? Mm-hmm. Why give her another host that she is going to
push out?
Yes, in 3 years.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, she can work, do this for another 15.
With
she
her
could
husband.
Be Regis. They yep. could, she could be 85 doing the show.
Yeah.
If we get the husband, fine. So they get the husband, and they're really, he's, you know, so then all of a sudden they're just going, talk more about your life. They love it. Talk more about the sex life. I mean, I don't know if they having, I wouldn't be surprised if they haven't fucked in 10 years.
Honestly,
like, I love that.
It's like, so, it's when you talk much. About it so much, it's like, why are we talking about this so much? What are you trying to hide?
And oh, and you know what bothered me the other day?
Yeah.
Is she was there and the daughter was there, Lola.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, and then he said something about his dad. And then she's like, oh, Lola's here. Oh, she said she if she would sit in the audience that I promised not to bring her up with the camera on her. Oh, well, I lied. And the girl's sitting there and I'm like, I'm going like on this huge campaign in the last couple months.
I know about what you're about
people using their kids for content, not respecting their privacy, whether it's on a TikTok or whether you're 20.
Yep.
And you went to your mom's show.
Yep.
And you just were like, I don't want to be on camera.
I landed on that side of TikTok too, about like family channels and how oh. really overexposing and a lack of privacy the kids have, even like infants.
Yes.
You know, you're a couple hours postpartum and you're filming your baby. I've been reading about that too.
And I'm just like, I'm so grossed out by it. I'm like, why would you do that? Like,
yeah.
God, you've already used her for so much content saying that she walked in on you doing doggy style.
Oh, my God.
That, you know, like, we God.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's like a thing. I think it's a very small movement that a lot of people are starting to get behind. Because especially when, like, with influencers and content creators, when their whole brand is about the kids, it becomes like a really toxic lifestyle where, you know, you're relying on the kids to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. And it's really... It's not right.
And here's the thing, as someone who has kids that are older now, my youngest is 17. They, listen, like when I was talking about my kids in my stand-up, I said, none, you guys can never see my stand-up mm-hmm. until you're 16. And they're like, why? And I go, because you won't care when you're 16. You won't care that I talk about your Hot Wheels
yeah.
being parked next to a shit because it fell in the toilet when you were taking a dump. You won't care when you're...
Much
16,
older.
Yeah. You'll find that funny. But when it's happening right then, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, these kids won't care when they're 30 that their mom and dad talked on a talk show about fucking all the time.
Right.
But
in
right
the
now,
moment.
At 20, sorry.
No, you're fine.
Right now at 20, it's like, it's awful.
Yeah, no, I
it's embarrassing.
Agree. So that's when I was looking for stories this morning, that came across. I'm like, I need to know what Heather thinks about Kelly
Ripa. They're so annoying. And I will, I still need to know, and I think you've talked about this too.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, it's annoying because some people question about why I'm not friends with people anymore. As
right.
if everyone's friends with from
forever.
People they met in first grade.
Yeah.
But I do want to know what happened with Jerry Seinfeld's wife and Kelly Ripa.
Is there drama there?
They used to be really close and now they're not.
Oh my God, that's like a side of the world I didn't follow. Where do you sleuth on the internet? Like when you're being like looking for gossip, would you go to TikTok? Where do you go?
I love the TikTok.
You do?
Yeah.
Me too.
Like I woke up at like 2:36 today.
Yeah.
I went back to bed. But I did a solid hour.
Yeah. It's
on the
so toxic.
On the talk.
Honestly, I don't know who I would be without the talk, but I think I would be a better person.
I'm like, Heather, stop. Turn it off.
I can't.
Turn it off.
It's
turn
an
it
addiction.
Off. And then even when you hear that thing, you've been scrolling way too long. I'm like, shut up.
You know you have a problem when you get that thing multiple times
yeah.
a day. Like, hey, you've been scrolling for a while. Maybe take a
but
walk.
But I do find really good interesting stuff.
Especially for the podcast.
Yeah,
It's our job to like know everything and make stuff up. So
yes.
We need to be on TikTok.
Exactly.
So we're going to dive into the Fast Five stories. And Heather, I just have one final question for you. Are you ready to deliver the Fast Five stories that you need to know?
Absolutely.
Today's episode of The Toast is brought to you by State Farm. The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create a plan that gives you options so you get an affordable price. And it comes with a lot of benefits like the coverage you want, a policy that helps cover what's important to you, and most importantly, an affordable price just for you. Because after all, life is just better when you can personalize your experiences. Think about it like this. What are your music playlists, podcast feeds, and social media scrolls all have in common? Well, spoiler alert, they're a reflection of you. We all know my social media is full of these days, like the girlies on Ozempic, lots of true crime recently, but it's so personal, you know, it's the algorithm, it knows me so well. So me and Jackie, we're such different girls, right? We have such different needs on social media, and we have such different insurance needs, and that's what's so fabulous about the State Farm Personal Price Plan. That's what it has in common. It gives you options to help you personalize your coverage so that you can protect what you care about most. And all at an affordable price just for you. So you can see more of yourself reflected in everything you love. So Jackie and I, you know, we're two girls. We host a podcast together. We have all the same thoughts, all the same life experiences. But even our insurance needs are so different. And State Farm gets that. Because, you know, Jackie's a homeowner. She's a Tesla. You know, that changes things. I don't have a Tesla. So like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Let me say that one more time. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I'm coming for Jake's neck. Call or go to statefarm.com today to create your State Farm personal price plan. Prices vary by state. Options selected by customer. Availability and eligibility may vary. Again, call or go to statefarm.com today to create your State Farm personal price plan. Prices vary by state. Options selected by customer. Availability and eligibility may vary. Today's episode is also brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything, from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms. It's 2023. You need a website. Whether you run an e-commerce site, whether it's for your job, whether you have a side hustle, or you're a photographer, a videographer, you could showcase your gorgeous work. You need a website, and it can be a really intimidating thing to do because a lot of people spend like a lot of money with fancy companies to have a gorgeous website made. But thanks to Squarespace, you don't have to do that. So whatever you're looking for on Squarespace, there is a product feature for you. So whether you want to create an online store, sell custom merch, showcase a video collection, an asset library. And the best part is that if you're using Squarespace for e-commerce, like to sell anything, they also have a point of sale. So you can sell in person by connecting to a Square Reader to the Squarespace app, and you'll keep your orders, your inventory, your customer data all in sync with your online store. So there's no reason not to have a stunning website because Squarespace is easy, it's accessible, and you can do it all on your own. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/toast. To save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. And I know what you're saying, Turdy, why should we trust you? Oh, I don't know. I was a blogger. I built many websites in my days, and I've used a lot of different services, a lot of different companies. I can tell you Squarespace is the real deal. Their flexible website templates are stunning. They will look professional, and it will be just you and your computer, and there's nothing better than that. So again, head to squarespace.com for that free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/toast to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. All right, our first story, I'm obsessed with this whole saga, but I also do want to get your take on Travis Kelce and okay. Taylor Swift. But the latest update is that he bought a $6 million mansion in Kansas City that has more privacy as his romance with Taylor Swift has been heating up. So the tight end and Taylor have been enjoying frequent rendezvous in the recent weeks. On Tuesday, he signed on the dotted line to close the deal, making him the new owner of a plush pad that boasts a waterfall, swimming pool, mini golf, etc.
For only $6 million,
Kansas City.
I want to kill myself living here in L.A.
But
what's
so funny is that up until this point, his house, it was a million-dollar home, which I imagine in Kansas City is still very lovely. Mm-hmm. But it definitely lacked any sort of privacy, for Taylor can't just like roll up to the curb in a suburban neighborhood and walk in. So I'm sure this one has a gate and everything. He's leveling up his lifestyle. And honestly, I respect the commitment.
Do we really think... Now, the sisters... who are my sisters too, your sisters.
Yes.
We're saying that they think that it's been going on longer than we know about. And I don't know, but he could have certainly been looking for a bigger, more established home for a year.
For
who
a while.
Knows?
Yeah, because he's making a lot of money. He's won the Super Bowl twice. Yes. He can live in a home that costs more than $1 million.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree that it's been going on longer than we know, especially because he's in such an interesting inflection point in his life where he is in the news every single day and he's forced to kind of speak on it because he has a weekly podcast. And I can't think of someone in recent memory who's ever been like so a part of the cultural zeitgeist and then forced to speak on it all the time, you know, on his show that's about his life.
As a podcaster yourself, was there any moment in that you were a little jealous of the fact that they...
Of course. Is that even a question? I'm also like a deeply jealous person.
I know that they already had like a good show going because they're brothers and they had the cute mom and the
popular,
Super Bowl, all
yeah.
that stuff. But I was like, I mean, the perfect storm.
No.
Are you kidding me?
I mean,
like,
you and I are out here on the daily.
Sweating our
tits off.
Doing
the most.
Yes.
Spreading our legs. And this man just comes in and has the number one podcast. It's only a year old. No, I'm jealous and I'm upset. I think that's okay to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I don't think it's been going on longer because he really couldn't have gotten away with it. And every time like there's an update in their relationship, we know about it.
So my thing, and I said it a few weeks ago, is I do think this is it.
You do?
I do.
Elaborate.
I think that she's so pragmatic in her life. Mm-hmm. She is such a good girl. She has done everything right. And I think this final tour, sure, she could go back and do another tour, but I could also think she could be like, I'm ready to put it down for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm 30. What is she, like 32?
Yeah, 33.
And I think she, that's an appropriate time to start like having kids without having a lot of issues or being too old or being too young. Mm-hmm. And I think she's ready to do it. And I think she really likes him. And I think she wants the normalcy of, you know, his best friend is his brother. And the mom isn't. And it's not an actor or a singer. So I think it's going to happen.
I mean, I think at first, for me, it was so a rebound fling, like very not serious. But the more I see, really, she seems so happy. And I agree. I do think she's not a girl who wants to, you know, run around with a million guys. She's very much, she was in a 6-year relationship. She's super family oriented. And I agree. I think that's kind of in the beginning, what they really had in common. I mean, her mom literally looks like his mom. They're twins.
And like, you know, when she would speak about her mom and everything. And I don't think her mom was having daiquiris with her in the 8th grade like Britney's. So I think she and her mom have a solid, solid relationship.
I agree. And I think so much of Taylor staying a really nice, normal person has to do with the fact that like throughout the entirety of her career, her mom has been at her side for every major moment, highs, lows.
Yes.
And I think she's a really good example of like, you know, good family values, you know? And I could see it. I could see this being it. I know it sounds crazy, but I don't disagree.
And I'm also going to go out on a limb, which is going to be shocking for 2023. Mm-hmm. I think she will get married before she gets pregnant.
Oh, you think she'll be a very traditional?
Yes.
I could see that.
I think they'll get married as a surprise. We won't even know. Mm. It'll be one of those, like, you thought you were going to a birthday party.
Yep.
But it was, a 100 people wedding.
Yep.
And that is going to happen before May of this year.
Wow.
I mean, May of 2024.
Okay. I guess we'll have to watch this episode in May of 2024 and see if Heather McDonald was right.
I really do need someone to mark my predictions.
You need to keep a ledger.
Yeah. Yeah.
What have you successfully predicted?
Oh, my God. There's been a bunch. I can't think of one. But my latest one, I did say before Joan, who had to leave The Golden Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
Before that happened, I said on my show, there's a blonde with a very good facelift who's about 60. And I think she's going to be the Golden Bachelorette. And they're going to bring younger guys, like between 50 and like 65, to court her. And then she left.
Right.
The next episode, she left to be with her daughter.
And so maybe she'll make a grand return.
And then I will have that in the bank that was one prediction. But a lot of my predictions have come true. And
I'm pulling for you.
Some have not.
No, of course. That's part of this job, like making stuff up, throwing shit at the wall. And some of it sticks. And you're like, look at me. I'm a genius. And then you don't talk about like the other 1,000 things.
Oh, so many that have not. There's 100%. So many like relationships and stuff that I've called that are not true. And
so overall, like, do you like this coupling of
Totally.
Taylor? Me too.
Totally. Yeah.
It's just also fun to see like really hot, rich young people being young, hot, and rich.
And not weird.
And not weird.
And not making their girlfriend wear nylons up to their nipples.
And giving blowjobs on boats in Vienna.
And walking around or wearing weird outfits for attention or just, you know.
It's so true. There's so much normalcy in this relationship.
Yes.
I love it.
I'm back to bring the normies.
Bring back normalcy. I completely agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Our next story is like major if you're into true crime.
Yes.
For me, it's major because I think a lot of girls my age, this story like changed our childhoods.
Right.
You know, when a lot of us were like 15, 16, 17 and, you know, people were going on spring break and then Natalie Holloway happened. Everyone's parents, like this shook the world.
So how old were you when this happened?
That's a good
question.
So
you would have been like in high school.
I was in fifth grade. So Olivia was entering high school. So this was just a story that stuck with my generation and our parents.
So remind everybody what happened.
So Natalie Holloway went missing. And was, you know, did they ever find her body? She was just presumed dead.
No, they never found the body.
When she went on spring break in Aruba in 2005. And it was just this major true crime. It was this insane mystery. People had their theories. And now, what is it, 20 years later? It's been a long time coming. But Beth Holloway finally knows what happened to her daughter, Natalie, in Aruba back in 2005. Jordan Vandersloot, the now 36-year-old man believed to be responsible for Natalie Holloway's death, pled guilty Wednesday in a Birmingham federal courtroom to wire fraud and extortion charges. As a part of the plea deal, Vandersloot agreed to tell Beth Holloway how her daughter died and where her body was stashed. Natalie went missing on a high school graduation trip to the Dutch Caribbean island. Vandersloot was the last person to be seen with Natalie. Though he was a suspect from the beginning, Aruba authorities never managed to build a case. In the U.S., however, federal prosecutors in Alabama had charged him with extortion and wire fraud in 2010, while he was already in prison in Peru for killing a college student, Stephanie Flores, in his hotel room in Lima. In the indictment, the U.S. government said that Vandersloot had attempted to get $250,000 from Beth Holloway in exchange for information and details in Natalie's death. Today, the United States held Jordan Vandersloot accountable for his scheme to exploit a mother looking for information about her missing daughter, the U.S. attorney said in a statement. For Beth Holloway, it wasn't the guilty plea she would have liked to see. She said, I can tell you with certainty that after 18 years, Natalie's case is solved as far as I'm concerned. It's over. It's over. Jordan Vandersloot is no longer the suspect in my daughter's murder. He is the killer. And now a judge sentenced him to 20 years in U.S. federal prison. But first, he has to return to Peru to finish his sentencing over there. If he serves more than 20 years there, he will not need to return to the U.S. to finish his sentence for extortion and wire fraud. So in the extortion... It doesn't seem enough.
He should be told the day he dies.
So he's being... He has now been charged for extortion and wire fraud, not for murder, but in the... evidence for the murder, I mean, for the extortion, he is on record. There's an audio taping saying that he did it.
Okay, so, I mean, what was so awful about this, because I remember, is that it was, you know, they went on the college trip. There were lots of parents that went, and she was out with friends, got a drink, met some guy in a lobby, saw her. I mean, the amount of, like, 2020s and stuff that was on this.
Insane.
And here they had this person that was so suspicious, everything. And then he goes and kills some other girl.
Right.
And so does time for that. But what I think is so amazing is that I feel like what I really want to see is the documentary on this now.
Yeah.
Because you know what my son said the other day? He was like... about the serial killer in Long Island. He goes, oh, I'm kind of bummed we know who it is. I wish they would have held it till after the Netflix doc. I go, life doesn't work like the Netflix doc.
And also,
but that's how they know. They're like, I won't enjoy this Netflix doc now.
But that's also like the weirdness of true crime, especially like true crime podcasts. Like people whose job it is to like, and I said for a while, the fact that like Morbid, that huge podcast was in comedy.
Yeah.
It's, true crime is weird because it's become a form of entertainment. While really, I think a lot of the times forgetting like, this is a 16-year-old girl, her whole life in front of her, a beautiful girl. Like, it's a unmistakable tragedy. And it becomes, like, commercialized.
It's crazy. But what I think is so interesting is I want to see if the mother solicited this fraud to get him.
Interesting.
Because I'm like, this was the thing. Had he not done this, then she wouldn't know that. And then I read that he bludgeoned her.
Ugh.
But... I guess we still don't know where the body is.
Right.
So whatever information she got, she knows finding the body in a tangible way is probably not going to happen. It's probably thrown out to sea or something. And so obviously it's not buried somewhere that she can go.
It's a terrible story. And I just can't believe, like, in my lifetime, like, as I remember this, I was so young, but it took the whole country by storm. Everyone was talking about it. That now we're still talking about it. And 20 years later, I feel like we never get resolution on these cases like, you know, JonBenet. These cases that take the world by storm. We never get like full concrete evidence or resolution. And it's really just so crazy that we do.
And think about if you're the mom, one of the moms that was the chaperone.
Ugh.
Not that it's your fault.
No.
These kids are 18. They can drink at 18 at that island. That's why they chose it. But it like makes me say I would never want to volunteer for that.
Really?
Yeah. I would
you never.
You never
did that for your sons?
No, I never wanted to be that, like, I don't, the only thing scarier than losing your own child is losing someone else's.
Oh my God, totally.
I mean, I'd honestly rather be on watch when my child gets kidnapped than on watch for someone else's.
Of course.
Because it's just.
The responsibility.
Yeah.
So this is just like a crazy turn of events. I can't believe, like, we finally got the resolution of something that just felt like forever we were never going to know,
truly. Do you
remember
when she started dating JonBenet's dad?
Who did?
The mother.
The Holloway mom?
Mother dated JonBenet's dad.
That's crazy.
Because his wife passed.
Right.
And they dated.
Briefly?
Yeah, I don't think it was serious, but it was a dating situation.
I mean, I imagine these are two people who have a lot in common, but that's really crazy.
Yeah. It's like awful, but like, yeah.
That's fucking weird.
It is weird, but then, you know, people meet up, you know?
But no. And you can't help, you know, who you love.
Yeah.
Our next story is so fucking funny. Alex Earl, the TikToker, is getting dragged for saying she looks like a mom on pickup duty when she's in reality wearing mini shorts and heels. So moms on social media are poking fun at influencer Alex Earl after she joked about wearing heels to pick up her future kids. So she shared a clip of herself getting dressed for a football game, throwing on a pair of very small mini shorts and white pumps and a very tight bodysuit. And she said, "I feel like a mom picking up her kids from school," she declared, while rocking an orange bodysuit, an aqua cap, and tiny Jimmy Choo purse. She said, "I don't know why a mom would be dressed like this to go pick her kids up from school, but that's what I'm going to be dressed like." And of course, like, actual moms flocked to stitch the TikTok being like, "No, this is actually what we wear." And they're literally like looking like haggard in ripped sweatpants, dirty T-shirts, and their hair is in a bun. They look nothing like Alex Earl, who is tanned to perfection, wearing the tightest clothes on planet Earth and heels.
Okay, so is this girl like an insane genius? Like, was this planned out?
No.
What is this?
That's the thing about Alex Earl.
I don't think this is particularly interesting or funny, but the fact that all these people are talking about it, then she scored, right?
Yes. So I don't think it's planned. I think that's really kind of the magic of Alex Earl.
Okay.
And why I think she's like one in a million. And there's so many TikTokers, and nobody cares about them as much as they care about Alex Earl.
Are people enjoying her show?
It's very new. I feel like it's hard to tell, you know, the success of a podcast. That's what's so interesting about podcasts. I'm sure you know. Me and Jackie talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
You know, a YouTuber, you know, your numbers are public. Your subscriptions are public. With TikTok, I mean, with podcasts, it's really hard to know if someone's podcast is killing it. And that's, we have recently started keeping a list of all the celebrities and influencers who started podcasts and never finished them, you know?
So, you know, that's one of my favorite things is to hear that sometimes I just go and look.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, what happened to that? And then I'll see, oh, last episode was May of 2022.
Yep.
Well, I guess you ran out of stories.
Right.
Guess you ran out of friends.
So only time will tell. You know, everyone's podcast is popular when it launches.
Right.
And a great example of that, and when we started making this list, I totally forgot. Remember when Ashley Graham had a podcast? Kim was on it.
Yeah, what happened with that?
Hasn't released an episode in over a year.
Yeah, because she ran out of friends, and she got tired of it.
Right. It's hard work.
And whoever convinced her to do it, you can sit on your bed and talk to your dog on a Tuesday night, and you're going to make $1 million a month.
Right.
Who the hell wouldn't do that?
Right.
But it's like, yeah. And with everybody also having a podcast, you can't really rely on my celebrity guest.
Right.
It's unfiltered. Right. It's la, 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 la. Like, we've all heard it. Like, you got to be able to be
different.
Yes.
So time will only tell. Like, the true success of a podcast is in its longevity.
Yes.
And I think what spurred us to start that list was Emrata's podcast was canceled. I did hear that she is going to continue doing it elsewhere. But I'm not sure. But the thing is, I think a lot of people also start a weekly podcast and are like, this is going to be easy money. I could talk for an hour a week. It's a tremendous amount of work.
It was.
Even weekly.
And the amount, listen, for like a year and a half during COVID or 2 years, whatever, these agents had nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what they could do was convince their people and they could work deals and blah, blah, blah.
And podcasts
from home.
So then
there was an onslaught of it. And people were just throwing millions of dollars at people because they were like, oh, you have 3 million followers on Instagram? Yeah, but seeing you in a bikini doesn't mean we're going to also listen to you 2 days a week for an hour on our commute.
So with the Alex Earl podcast, I do want to say, I think there is potential there.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And I think she leads a very interesting life that a lot of people can relate to, but then a lot of people can't, but they find it fascinating and almost inspiring, you know?
Like, well, listen, when it starts to dip, she's got to have the stepmother on. For the tell-all about how her stepmother was a call girl or a sex worker, whatever you want to call it today, for this governor or something.
Yeah, for Elliot Spitzer.
Yeah.
So I was in high school at the time, and Elliot Spitzer's apartment was right by my high school. And it was, we would leave school, and the streets were closed. I remember that time very specifically. I'm curious, did you hear Alex talk about it on Call Her Daddy?
Oh, she did talk about
it? She did. Oh, I think she was very,
very... She shouldn't have blown her load on that. She should have saved it.
For her own podcast.
Yeah.
She was very nervous. It's probably like...
No, she should have had the mom on, though. Had the stepmom on for that, for her own.
And she has said in interviews that, like, in her, you know, recent surge in public life, her stepmom has actually been really helpful. Like, she has enormous experience dealing with this type of stuff. But it was really interesting to hear her talk about it. I think she was incredibly nervous. She was, because this is really not her story to tell. She wasn't, you know, with the governor. It's like, it was other people
also,
in her life.
Also, I've heard that, you know, there might have been, maybe the stepmom maybe her dad wasn't and the mom weren't totally broken up.
No, she said on the podcast
when the stepmom came in.
She
cheated.
The dad cheated.
Okay,
she said that very clearly on the podcast. It was, I thought it was crazy that she was talking about it.
Yeah,
good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess time will tell about the podcast.
Yeah, and then she's dating a football player too, right?
Yes. So I think people look at that and it's like, oh my God, like, it's just so fun to see someone so young and skinny and perfect looking just having this, like, the ride of their lives, you know?
Do you feel like she's like the Kardashian of our time? Like, how everyone was obsessed with Kim. And like they like Kim was refreshing.
Yes.
Because she was curvy and had brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we hadn't seen someone with brown hair and curves
in years.
Like, oh my God, like she still was like a size 2, but yeah. Everyone was like freaking out.
Yeah.
And that she was had interracial relationships. So that was like a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, I kind of feel like, well, this girl showed that she has a messy apartment and
right.
Everyone like fucking like jacked off to it.
Yeah. I don't know if I necessarily think of her as the Kim Kardashian, because I think especially when she did her episode on Call Her Daddy and you see on TikTok, she's tagging her sister and they're trying to bring other people into the fold. But I don't know if it's having the same sort of effect that the Kardashians did. Like once you met Kim and then you met all the sisters, like it was like you couldn't get enough of them collectively. And I think it's I don't think that the same thing's happening with the family.
What about the other TikTokers, the DeMonicos or whatever?
D'Amelios.
D'Amelios. And who's the other girl?
Addison.
Yes. What's going on with those people?
Addison has taken like a major leave of absence from public life. Her family, her parents were like out here embarrassing themselves and making TikToks and cheating. And it was like really bad.
Oh, right. Oh, and I interviewed the girl that was dating
the dad.
Yes. And I actually didn't release it.
Oh.
Because I felt that her story would not be well received and it wouldn't be good for her.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Addison took a lot of time off after that because it was like embarrassing and I think it was a lot. And I think she made a lot of money and she got really famous and she just needed some time. She's slowly making her way back to public life. She is acting.
Good.
She did that Netflix movie and now she's in that Eli Roth horror movie, Thanksgiving.
That's what she should do.
Yeah.
Like, why you've got your money, why don't you actually pursue something besides dancing?
Right.
You know, like the dancing's not going to last. And the dancing was a 2020 trend.
It's true. And the D'Amelio girlies, they have that reality show. They're very commercial. You know, they did Dancing with the Stars. They have a line at Target. They have a line at Abercrombie. They have lines everywhere, lines here, lines there.
What happened with their reality show? I watched that for a minute.
I watched the first season. It was beyond depressing. I think it was actually really indicative of the mental health crisis in this country. Like, I think these are two young, beautiful, fabulous girls with every opportunity, and they are miserable.
Yeah.
And so it was actually it wasn't a super interesting show, but I think it was very interesting because that's what goes on in the minds of young people now.
Yeah.
And it was dark.
Right.
And now the second season just came out, and I'm not watching it.
No.
I'm okay.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, good for Alex.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Quince. We love high-end luxury goods as much as the next person, but our wallet is not on the same page. That was until we found Quince. Quince is our go-to for luxury essentials at prices within reach. So Quince creates timeless classics that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Their capsule wardrobe must-haves like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50 to washable silk tops and dresses and flattering pants make putting together any outfit that much easier. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. So by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love. We're also, you know, in our wardrobe building era. I'm all about capsule wardrobe. I learned about it on TikTok, and that means investing in a few solid good pieces that you can wear a million different ways and have forever. So I have this gorgeous brown cashmere sweater from Quince that everybody is always commenting on. I wear it on the toast like once a week. And gorgeous black slacks. Like just one good pair is all you need. So get affordable luxury with Quince. Go to quince.com/toast for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/toast to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince, quince.com/toast, and start looking fabulous. It's time. Like, we are looking fabulous these days, okay? Today's episode is brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Theo is the most important person in my life, and I say that knowing my husband is sitting right next to me. Nobody tops Theo, and his health and well-being are the most important things bar none. Like, it's not even a question. And when it comes to his food, we are a farmer's dog family. We switched to fresh, healthy dog food a little while ago, and there have been so many benefits. So the farmer's dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. It's developed by vets, it's nutritionally balanced, and it's made from real healthy ingredients to human food safety standards. It is the best options for dogs at all life stages because it's not kibble, it's not canned goo, it's just real healthy food. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are highly processed, and they can use much lower quality ingredients than they claim to. And they are extremely difficult to portion accurately, so if your dog is yo-yoing, you know, getting heavy and then thin, it's hard to know exactly how much to feed them, and that's what the farmer's dog is so fabulous. They're taking all of the worry, and they're delivering it straight to your door, which is fabulous. Now, there's so many benefits once you switch. For Theo, number one issue was his breath. Like, it was gross. And it wasn't just dog breath gross. It was, like, really something was wrong here, gross. And it's been so much better. His coat is so shiny, he has so much energy, and Farmer's Dog is great for any dogs, whether you have a young dog, a senior dog. It's never a bad time to start investing in your dog's health because they keep you happy. The least we can do is keep them healthy. That's not a Farmer's Dog slogan, but it sounds like one. Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/toast. Plus, you'll get free shipping. Just go to thefarmersdog.com/toast. Thefarmersdog.com/toast to get 50% off your first box and free shipping. Our next, good for Alex. Yeah. I agree. It's nice to see, like,
keep doing you.
Keep doing you. Yeah. All right, our next story. Kris Jenner may bring Meghan Markle and Prince Harry into the Kardashian fold, reports say. Meghan and Prince Harry could be making a potential cameo in Kris Jenner's hit family reality show, The Kardashians, according to report. Insiders close to the Duke and Duchess and the Jenners say that the momager is vying to get the exiled royals to appear in their hit Hulu show as their apparent friendship continues to evolve. It's no coincidence that the Kardashians all move in the same circles as Meghan's new circle, an insider told Bella Magazine. It's just a slam dunk for the two families to team up, but Kris doesn't want to push too aggressively too soon. Even if it's just a cameo, that's a huge win for Kris. The business side is now in motion and looking very lucrative. Rumored talks between the Sussexes and the Kardashians are reportedly still in the early stages. Jenner is committed to betting the Sussexes into her family's inner circle. I have thought it was bizarre that since Meghan and Harry's moved to Hollywood, there hasn't been any sort of relationship with the Kardashians.
Well, I mean, this would benefit the Kardashians a lot, mm-hmm. you know, because we don't really see Harry and Meghan, like, being themselves.
Right.
And after the bomb of the podcast and everything else.
That's another podcast that's on our list.
Yes. And I was like, so what is next? Are we going to see them feed the chickens? Are we going to see her being, like, a real housewife planning a party for Lilibet or whatever? Or not. Because once you step in that reality shit, you're not going to get any more acting roles. But maybe she doesn't want to learn lines and be an actress.
She has said she doesn't think she'll return.
You know, I mean, the beauty of being on a reality show is that you can be with your kids. You can be home. They come to you. You have a salad. Whatever.
You have a salad.
And if that's something that she's thinking about, it's a total win-win for both of them so that we could see them being a little more normal, maybe, and then people would be like, you know what, I would like to see this reality show with them and see what happens.
Yeah, but I would, by the way.
They are total grifters and social climbers, though. And they do, you know, like, they'll meet someone at a party, and then Harry will do the follow-up, her. And he'll be like, oh, my wife was talking to you about your house in Aspen. We were thinking about going there next month. And then they'd say, well, my God, stay at our place.
Right.
And then they go, oh, but how would we get there?
Ooh.
Any chance you're going to be using your jet that weekend? No, we're not. Okay.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden the person, even though they're really rich, is like, and then they realize they're actually not that fun to talk to.
Right.
And so then they go, and now they have stink on them. So now the billionaires don't even want to take a photo with them anymore.
But see, that's why I find it so shocking that they haven't hung out with the Kardashians. Like, that up, like, Kardashians are upper A-list.
Oh,
Meghan and Harry are on their own level. I think I always say, like, they're on their own level. I think that's only similar to, like, the Obamas, you know, like, kind of royalty politician energy. And, you know, they went to Ellen's birthday. Kris was there. Like, I feel like there have been many opportunities for them to have become friends or even just be spotted out at, like, having dinner.
Well, both Kris and Meghan, I believe, are very good about meeting someone, doing the follow-up, and becoming the friends.
Right.
She is excellent at that. Like, the first time I was invited to Kris's Christmas party, I couldn't believe I was invited.
Right,
I'm like, I just met this girl once at a luncheon.
Right.
And then I said to this other girl that was invited, I go, who the hell has a Christmas Eve party? No, everybody's with their family on Christmas Eve. Your Christmas parties are like on the 16th.
Right.
You know, like something like that. And she goes, oh, no, Heather, you have to go. And this is when it was much smaller. She's like, you have to go. I'm like, what am I going to do with my kids? She goes, she's got elves to watch them. And I was
How
like,
old were your kids at the time?
Oh, little, like baby and then like a 4 and a 7-year-old.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, like this is amazing. So, you know, now she's best friends with Lauren Sanchez, mm-hmm. who's engaged to
Jeff Bezos.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
And like it is. And I remember when Caitlin, who was Bruce at the time, mm-hmm. started flying helicopters
for fun.
Mark Anthony in Hidden Hills.
Okay.
And that is when it was like, everything we planned for is working.
Right.
Now we're going to be friends with J-Lo.
Right.
So it all works out, and it makes friends. That it makes sense that these people would be friends.
Right.
They have the yachts. They have the billionaire friends.
Planes.
Billionaires want to hang out with billionaires. But I mean, I think besides just wanting the content for Hulu, I don't think Harry and Meghan are... They're no Lauren and Jeff Bezos. I would put my effort more in that relationship than that Meghan Markle.
I agree, by the way. Like, I would be friends with Lauren and Jeff. They seem like a good time. Like, the more they share,
yeah.
the more I'm like, okay. Their announcement, like how we all found out they were dating was such a bizarre time. Remember with the National Enquirer? But now that I've had time to digest, like, I think they're a really cute couple. I really do.
I've met Lauren many times years ago. And even before she got with Jeff, I started to write her because she was like, she's like a full helicopter pilot.
Wow.
She like knows how to fly helicopters.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, hey, remember me? Come on, Juicy Scoop. Come on. Then she's like dating Jeff, gets engaged. And then I was probably didn't speak that highly of the cheating that happened there. Because how can I? It was so juicy.
Yeah.
I don't think she's coming on Juicy Scoop anytime soon.
I wouldn't wait by the phone for her to call you back.
I don't think it's happening. But I love to see Kris Jenner at the birthday parties and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, me too. I like that friendship.
But I want to say they were running around the same... They could have been friends 20 years ago and nobody tried.
Of course.
She didn't try to be friends with Kris and Kris didn't try to be friends with her. But now it's a match made in heaven.
That's always how it happens. And I just find it interesting that Meghan and Harry have not infiltrated that group yet.
Oh, I think they've tried.
You think?
I think they've tried and now maybe it'll happen.
Right.
You know? I mean, it could make sense... But I don't know that I think Meghan still thinks she's above the Kardashians.
Wow, really?
Yes. I think she, at this time, because they have little kids, they could have had a play date. She could be hanging out with True and everything.
The kids is a great way to get Jessica Simpson and Kim.
Yeah, but I don't know that. I think they all think of themselves as like,
too
I don't
good.
Need them, they need me.
You know what? I actually could see that being the case.
Yeah.
Like both Kim and Meghan, like not wanting to be the one to reach out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And they don't need to have play dates. They all have each other.
And nannies.
To play with. All the kids play with each other.
Our fifth and final story is about my favorite person on the planet. It's Gwyneth Paltrow. Do you love Gwyneth Paltrow? Do you hate? I feel like you...
I really loved her movies.
Yeah.
I loved her movies. And I guess she was in something recently that was like a streaming show.
Politician.
Yes. And people said I would like it, so I have to watch that.
It's good.
I think she's out of touch and everything. I mean...
That's why we love her.
But, I mean, look what she's made. Good for her.
No, and, like, with all the ridicule, like, everything, she came out on top with Goop valued over $1 billion.
Now, does she podcast?
She does. Goop has a podcast.
But is she, like, on it all the time or no?
That's a good question.
Or is it, like, people that work
for her? I don't think
she's
on it all the time. There's people. And you know what? That's a good way. If you can't commit to doing it every week, like, make it a company podcast.
Yes.
So she is swearing she will disappear from public life after her retirement. She says, no one will ever see me.
You'll never see my face again, Tamara Running.
Literally.
But wait, when is this retirement happening?
So obviously she hasn't acted that much. Her last major film was 2019. But now she's looking to sail off into the sunset without looking back. So she's on the cover of Bustle's digital magazine, which I found really interesting because that's like a fake magazine. And Gwyneth Paltrow is an A-list star. She looked unbelievable. Like, she had tushy out and everything. But I was like, damn.
Yeah,
like, you
that ass, I think.
It's a sick ass.
I don't remember her ass being that juicy. Mm. So I think everyone needs to study that pose. I think there's some, like, when I have chicken legs, okay? Mm-hmm. But when I kick up my leg, I have this incredible muscle in my thigh mm-hmm. that wouldn't be there
if
unless I
kicking.
Kicked up my leg. So I saw that and I'm like, I think if I twist my legs like that and turn around, maybe it pops your ass a little bit.
I think we could all learn a lot from this fake digital magazine cover. I thought it was so weird. Like, she could be on the cover of Vogue and she's on the cover of Bustle. Okay, regardless.
Why is Jessel on the cover of Rolling Stone?
Oh, let's talk about that. I'm so glad you brought that up. I don't think she was on the cover. They did a spread. It was a very fancy photo shoot. Because it's kind of like it was more like the fall and rise of Jessel. Because she was insufferable, my God, in the beginning. She was just like really trying so hard on Real Housewives of New York. And she weirdly like rose from the ashes and emerged as like some sort of hero on the show. And people are taking note.
Well, I think she rose from because she was treated so horribly by Psy.
Yes.
Who's just like the worst person on earth.
So mean.
She's like, what? Just answer the question. Actually, you know what? Don't answer because I don't care. It's actually funny how little I care about
mean.
You.
Mean.
I'm just, go away.
Yeah.
Like, she's just the worst.
Yeah.
And I think also people like, look, I thought the Vietnam thing was weird too. And then I was like, God, I mean, just like, why are you trying to tear down someone's marriage when there's evidence now or people coming out that her guy was married when she started working at the bar and got
it was
with
an affair.
Him, all that kind of stuff. So it's just like, but I just feel like, God, that's all these shows are. There's an element where I am just like grossed out.
I know. It's like just at the end of the day, like, what are we doing?
We're tearing down women
and their marriages.
We're like, here, it's literally sell your soul to the devil being Bravo. You most likely your kids will hate you, at least for part of their lives, and you're definitely your marriage is going to crumble. There's a chance that some freak is going to go in the papers and realize you did something wrong on
your
taxes. A
million years ago.
And now you are going to lose everything.
Yeah.
And possibly go to jail.
Yeah.
But guess what? You get to go to BravoCon.
But you're famous.
You get to go to BravoCon and
No, that's a really good point. So back to Gwyneth. Yeah. So she said, I will literally disappear from public life. No one will ever see me again. So later in the interview, when she was asked if she would attempt to teach others how to age gracefully, she says, I'll probably try knowing myself, or I might be like, fuck this. I might just disappear and no one will ever see me again. I feel like she's talking a lot about her. She's really good friends with Cameron Diaz. And that's what Cameron Diaz did. She made $100 million in Trek and was never to be seen again. She completely retired. She came out of retirement to do that amazing movie, The Other Woman, and then she went back into retirement. She has a lot of money. She had a baby. She has a wine company, so she still like posts on Instagram and shit. But she does not act, and we never see her.
You know what I think is so interesting is about how Pamela Anderson, you know, went out with no makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like a few years older than I am. Definitely not ready to do that. May never be. May never be.
Yeah.
But she's also prettier, much prettier, obviously, naturally anyway. And she goes, you know, I remember my mom saying, you're just not going to want to wear makeup after a certain point. And I'm just like, oh, I don't want to, you know, she went out. I don't want to compete with clothes. And I do feel like when you're so stunning, like a Cameron Diaz, you know, and you're this youthful thing and something about Mary and all that. And you're just like, I don't want to put myself out there anymore. I don't want to be scrutinized.
Yeah.
She had a child, I believe, kind of late in her 40s.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that all these people won't come back.
Right.
They really should. They should come back when they're going to be the grandmother, the mother of the bride role, whatever. Like, don't give it all up. Be that Jane Fonda.
Right.
But I even think Jane Fonda had years where
she took time off.
Yeah, and where she was just like, I just don't want this right now. And I don't know how many facelifts I... And she's had, obviously, a lot of work, Jane Fonda. But, like, I just think it's kind of a hard thing. And, like, even as I get older, I'm like... And I see my friends after a couple of years, and I'm like, oh, everyone is looking a little older. Oh, this facelift is not that good, and I'm not going to that guy. And, like, whatever. But I'm kind of seeing it.
Yeah.
And it's just a truth. And, like, you know... So I think that can be part of it, where she's just like, I don't really, and the effort that it takes to do a movie is so much work if you don't need the money,
right?
And you're not craving the Oscar anymore.
And
she's
the attention.
Got the Oscar.
It's also like the attention. I think that's why it's so hard for a lot of women to take, or not women, just people in Hollywood, to take that time off, because, you know, for the amount of time that you're out of the public sphere, like, that technically is your star, you know, going down. And for a lot of people, when you've been on that roller coaster for so many years, like, the thought of you not working and not being seen and not being spoken about is like the worst thing that can happen to you.
Or it's like when Reese Witherspoon said, you know, the roles dried up, you know, I wasn't getting them anymore. So what did she do?
She made them,
bought every book that she could and bought the rights to it. And made her own thing. But that is part of it. It's being an actress, a model, a sports person. It is a short window. You shouldn't expect it to last forever. That's why when the Friends people asked for, let's all get a million an episode, because they're like, we'll probably never have another sitcom.
Yep.
So you've got to make it while you can make it. Mm-hmm. And also have enough going on in your life and healthy-wise that if you're not going to the Oscars anymore, you're not going to miss it. And I don't think any of them miss it.
No, me neither. I think Cameron Diaz is probably the happiest she's ever been.
Yeah.
She had a baby.
And like, yeah, what do I need it for? She's got that wine, which I did think was kind of interesting.
The Aveline wine?
Did you see her? Okay. What I also think, and I know you're going to like, is like, listen, we've all accepted that these big, huge stars had to get into our space.
Yeah, okay? Podcasting, yeah.
Podcasting and Instagramming and mm-hmm. all that stuff. And then they're doing the things where they're doing makeup and all that.
And it's like, that was for us, but okay.
Yeah, and like, can we have one fucking thing?
Yeah.
And so then she's doing, I'm putting my Avalon thing at the store, and she's doing this dumb thing, acting like, you know, like this wasn't like a $75,000 shoot. Like, this was an expensive shoot. There were 25 people involved. This wasn't just you and your assistant going to Walmart. Like, if you were going to do something for your liquor brand,
I would literally walk into the store in my pajamas.
Yes, and do that. And so I was like, well, let's do that. Let's make it look like Claudia's.
With a million-dollar budget.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, don't begrudge, but I wish more people would see how annoying it is.
Same with
Jennifer Aniston being like, doing this is my brand.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You know?
There's no product in her hair. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting time where I think during COVID, so many celebrities started doing other things to make money besides, you know, their traditional trades, which was acting, singing, whatever.
Yes.
And they made a lot of money, social media, podcasting. And so they're still doing that now in addition with their, you know, traditional skills. And it's annoying because that's our job.
Yes.
Stay away.
Let us have one.
One little thing.
But I do feel like when you do, like, I do feel like you and I are in our podcast, we're good about it, and the people appreciate it, and it's like never going to go away.
No, so that's what I was saying at the top of the show.
As long as we've been doing it, you know?
So Jackie and I always say, because people are always like, well, what do you want to do? You know, like, and for a while, I think when we were younger, it was like, oh, I want to have my own TV show. And now we say, like, we love what we do. If we could be doing this forever in the nursing home, like podcasting, then that's a dream, right? And I think we look at someone like you who has grown kids and is still at the top of her game and still does this. Like, that's what we want to do. So it's amazing to see. It's like a future that you would envision for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I really do love it, because I was like, you know, we were driving and Peter was like, oh, should we get a lotto ticket, which I've never been into buying a lotto ticket ever, but I'm like, whatever, if you want to go get one, fine. And I'm like, even if I won $1 billion, I would still do Juicy Scoop, because
maybe once a week,
but I love waking up and not always, you know, sometimes it's not always the greatest comments, but I do like, I need that reflection, whether it's like doing stand-up or hearing the comments the next day. I don't think I would be happy not being creative. And I do like the immediate response of today's world.
Feedback.
Yeah, the feedback.
I agree.
So I do like all that. So I don't know that I would do either. I always thought I was going to be a mom in a sitcom. And I had some opportunities that then never were to fruition, pilots.
It wasn't
stuff.
Meant for you.
And that's always what I envisioned. I would be getting the Emmy and doing all that.
That's so funny.
And so, yeah, I was thinking you're probably out here like fielding talk show offers now.
No one wants me on their talk show, which is disgusting.
Well, to be a guest or to be have your own?
By the way, I used to say, like, my dream job was to have a talk show. And until I realized a few years later that being a talk show host requires very little talking and a lot of listening to other people, like your guests. Who fucking wants to do that? That sounds miserable. Right? That's why we never have guests on the show.
Well, listen, even when I try so hard, there'll be some YouTuber that's like, let your guest talk. I'm like, I just listen, I interrupt. But this one, I really let them talk.
No,
but
by the way,
I almost think there's people that are listening that if I don't interrupt, they're like almost bummed.
No, I've literally been sitting here being like, I know the Juicy Scoopers are going to like rip my ass a new one if I interrupt Heather. So I've been like trying to be so good. But
stop.
I know that I still probably interrupted you.
Well, I love the toast.
I love you. Thank you so much for doing this. If you guys enjoyed the podcast, check out Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald. How many episodes a week now? Three?
Two, and then Friday Patreon or subscription. So, and that's always at least 30 minutes.
Heather's so consistent. Her episodes are up always at the same time. time, never like us. She's on top of her shit. You should follow her and check out her Patreon. Thank you for doing this. Love you guys. Tomorrow's episode is with me and Ben, and we've actually got a big announcement. We're getting
pregnant.
Divorced.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. No, but we do have a great announcement, so we'll be tuning in tomorrow. Love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast and Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as podcasts anywhere podcasts can be found, so Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places, Leslie Waves, and Spotify, beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.